Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Divergent Mind by journalist and researcher Janara Nirenberg examines why many neurodivergent women go unrecognized for years and what changes when their differences are finally named. Focusing on conditions and traits often missed by traditional diagnostic lenses, the book explores how ADHD, autism spectrum traits, sensory processing differences, dyslexia, giftedness, and related patterns can look different in women than in men. Nirenberg connects personal stories with reporting on neuroscience, psychology, and social expectations to show how masking, perfectionism, and people-pleasing can hide struggles while raising the cost of coping. The book also highlights the role of hormones, stress, and burnout, suggesting that many women are treated for anxiety or depression without the underlying neurodivergence being addressed. Rather than framing divergence as a deficit, it presents it as a set of cognitive and sensory variations that can become strengths with the right language, support, and environment. The result is both a recognition guide and a roadmap towards self-advocacy and healthier belonging. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why neurodivergent women are overlooked. A central theme is that many neurodivergent women are missed because the cultural and clinical templates for conditions like ADHD and autism were built primarily around male presentations. The book describes how girls and women may externalize less, compensate more, and learn early to perform socially acceptable behavior, which can make symptoms appear subtle or situational. Instead of disruptive behavior, they may show chronic overachievement, intense worry, fatigue, or social exhaustion, leading to mislabeling as anxious, moody, or simply sensitive. Nirenberg emphasizes that this invisibility is not a lack of need, but a different style of adaptation. The concept of masking is key. Women may copy social scripts, monitor tone and facial expressions, and suppress stimming or sensory discomfort to avoid judgment. Over time, that constant self-monitoring can contribute to burnout, identity confusion, and a feeling of never being fully seen. The topic also covers how stereotypes influence who gets referred for assessment and who gets dismissed. By widening the lens beyond traditional checklists, the book argues that recognition is the first step toward appropriate care, self-understanding, and reduced shame. Secondly, masking, perfectionism, and the hidden cost of coping. The book explores how many neurodivergent women survive by becoming experts at appearing fine. Coping strategies may include meticulous organization, relentless preparation, over-apologizing, and maintaining an outward image of competence. While these methods can lead to academic or professional success, Nirenberg presents them as double-edged. The more effective the mask, the less likely anyone is to notice the struggle underneath. This creates a feedback loop where support is withheld because performance looks adequate, even as internal stress rises. A common pattern described is perfectionism as protection, a way to prevent criticism, avoid missed details, and compensate for executive function challenges or sensory overload. Another cost is emotional labor, the constant effort to manage social expectations, read subtle cues, and regulate reactions. Over time, the nervous system can become depleted, leading to shutdowns, burnout, and physical symptoms that are often treated in isolation. The book also notes how shame can intensify when a woman believes her difficulties are personal failures rather than differences in cognitive wiring. By naming these patterns and connecting them to neurodivergence, the author encourages readers to replace self-blame with self-inquiry and to experiment with accommodations that reduce the need for constant performance. Thirdly, sensory processing and the misunderstood body-mind connection. Another major topic is sensory processing and how heightened or atypical sensitivity can shape daily life, relationships, and mental health. Nirenberg discusses how sound, light, textures, crowds, and even internal sensations can be experienced as intensely distracting or overwhelming, yet rarely recognized as a core driver of stress. When sensory overload is chronic, it can look like irritability, anxiety, or social avoidance, and many women may not realize that their environment is the trigger. The book links sensory differences to burnout and fatigue, suggesting that constant exposure without recovery time taxes attention and emotion regulation. It also highlights how some neurodivergent people swing between sensory seeking and sensory avoiding, pursuing stimulation when under-aroused and retreating when overloaded. This variability can confuse family members and clinicians who expect consistent preferences. The author also points to the importance of practical environmental changes, reducing noise, managing lighting, structuring transitions, and planning decompression time. These interventions can be more effective than willpower because they address input rather than blaming character. By framing sensory needs as legitimate and actionable, the book gives readers language for self-advocacy at work, at home, and in healthcare settings, making daily life more sustainable and less punishing. Fourthly, hormones, stress, and the pathway to burnout, Divergent Mind examines how neurodivergence can interact with biology and life stages, particularly for women. The book highlights that hormonal shifts across the menstrual cycle, pregnancy, postpartum periods, and perimenopause can influence attention, mood, sleep, and sensory sensitivity. When neurodivergent traits are already managed through intense coping, these fluctuations can expose vulnerabilities and push people toward crisis, sometimes leading to late identification. Nirenberg also connects chronic stress to executive function and emotional regulation, emphasizing that living in environments that punish difference can keep the body in a near-constant state of vigilance. That physiological load can contribute to anxiety, depression, and inflammatory or fatigue-related complaints, which may be treated without addressing the underlying mismatch between person and context. Burnout in this frame is not a motivational issue, but a predictable outcome of sustained overextension and insufficient recovery. The book encourages readers to watch for early signals such as increasing sensory intolerance, social withdrawal, and reduced ability to start tasks. By treating burnout as a systems problem, not a moral one, the author points toward prevention, pacing, realistic workload design, supportive relationships, and medical providers who consider neurodivergence when evaluating stress-related symptoms. Lastly, from diagnosis to empowerment, building a supportive life, a practical through line is how recognition can become empowerment rather than a limiting label. Nirenberg emphasizes that many women feel relief when they finally understand their patterns, because a coherent explanation reduces self-blame and clarifies what kind of support actually helps. The book encourages readers to seek informed assessment when appropriate, but also to use self-knowledge to make immediate changes, adjusting work styles, setting boundaries, and choosing environments that fit their nervous system. It highlights the value of accommodations and scaffolding, such as external reminders, simplified routines, sensory-friendly spaces, and clear communication norms. Another focus is community, because many neurodivergent women have spent years feeling alone or defective, and finding others with similar experiences can normalize needs and provide strategies. The author also challenges a one-size-fits-all model of success, suggesting that thriving may mean redefining productivity, relationships, and rest. Importantly, empowerment includes advocating within healthcare, education, and workplaces where bias can still shape outcomes. By combining stories with research-informed guidance, the book frames neurodivergence as difference plus context, arguing that when context improves, strengths like creativity, deep focus, empathy, and pattern recognition can flourish. The goal is a life designed with, not against, the divergent mind. In conclusion, this book is best for women who suspect they may be neurodivergent, those who have received a late diagnosis, and anyone supporting them, including partners, clinicians, educators, and managers. It is also valuable for readers who have long carried labels like too sensitive, disorganized, intense, or anxious and want a clearer, less blaming explanation. The benefit is practical and emotional. It helps readers recognize patterns such as masking, sensory overload, and burnout, then consider environmental and relational changes that reduce daily friction. By shifting the story from personal failure to brain-based difference interacting with social expectations, the book can relieve shame and support healthier decisions about work, boundaries, and self-care. Compared with similar titles that focus narrowly on one condition, Divergent Mind stands out for its broad lens across multiple neurodivergent profiles and its specific emphasis on women who are routinely missed by standard narratives. Its blend of reported science, lived experience, and cultural critique makes it both validating and action-oriented. For readers seeking language, context, and a path toward thriving, it offers a compelling reason to buy and keep as a reference. If you would like to support Janara Nirenberg, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.